So this class has been on quite a physical journey. We were up in the mezzanine several years back. Then we moved to the chapel, and now we're down here in this room, and rooms just keep getting bigger, but that's okay. We'll try to make it as small as we can and get packed in here as well as we can. So the reason that we're meeting in here, we want to reserve the chapel for those who are more compromised or in their immune systems or want to continue to distance with masks. So we're really wanting to honor them. We want everyone to honor each other, whether you're wearing a mask or not. Really want there to be a spirit of love among one another. So I think it's our way of honoring those who want to continue to isolate. And I think there'll be quite a few up there today. So that's good. Thank you for making the sacrifice. Hopefully this won't be too hard to bring us kind of into a good discussion and have this big room not swallow us all up. So we are going to be the Sunday school class that is live streamed to the rest of Flint Hills Bible Church and anyone else that happens to view our live stream service every Sunday. So do not be paralyzed by that. You can turn around and say hi to the camera if you want to, just to kind of get familiar with people out there. I'm just kidding. I don't want you to lose your tongue. You know, when I was a kid, they always said the cat get your tongue or something. I don't think they use that anymore, but I don't even know where that came from. But anyway, don't let that intimidate you. Give testimony to what the Lord has done and is doing in your life. So what I want to do today is simply kind of just bring us back together. I thought it would be talk to the rest of the teachers, Brock Russell and Tyson, and just thought, you know, it's the holiday weekend. We already have people gone because of not coming back yet because of the COVID, and that's going to take a little bit of time. So let's just have a time today to just give some testimony about how you have been able to experience and live out what you have learned in the soul care class, how you're putting that into practice, because it's only deception to learn to be a hearer of God's word, not be a doer. So it's great to increase in knowledge, but we need to practice what we are hearing. James says, don't be just a hearer, but be a doer as well, deceiving yourself. So really want to hear that. I know that Maria said she talked to several young ladies who had some things they were going to say. So I'm counting on you to have some things to say. I don't have a message prepared, which brings me to a point. We're probably going to be getting done about 9:55 every Sunday, just so we can move to our regular seats where you sit and let people begin to come in. So we're just going to be mindful of that as well. So I want to pray, and we'll get started. We are grateful and mindful, Father, of your sovereign work in our life to bring us to this place today with this group of people for this moment. We pray that we not miss the encouragement, exhortation, warnings, teaching today that comes from your word. Thankful for every soul that is here, and pray that we would just now hear testimony to your worthiness and your greatness, not our own. We pray this for the glory of Christ, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Oftentimes during the last 3 months, I've thought about you, and I know you've thought about other people as well and how everyone is doing. When you're in a situation like we've been in, it's easy to be isolated, and I hadn't intended to do this, but I'm going to ask you to turn to Proverbs 18:1 and 2. What is the importance of being together and being around other Christians? Well, I can tell you what happens when you're not. Proverbs 18:1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. There's something that happens to us when we get isolated. We begin to really think about our own thoughts, our own desires, and we begin to rage against or push back against someone else's thoughts or judgments or counsel. So it's just really good to be together. This happens to people. And in fact, in verse 2, a fool has no delight in understanding but expressing his own heart. So it's just key that we come together, that we not put ourselves in a place of isolation. We put ourselves with other godly people who can speak truth and correction and exhortation and encouragement in our life and bend and correct our thinking. And if you think about what the Word of God is good for, 2 Timothy 3:16, it's good for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction or training in righteousness. And so that is just what we do when we're together. We use the Word of God to teach doctrine, but we also do that to reprove and correct and to instruct one another in righteous living. So thank you for being here and just putting yourself in a place where you're listening to other counsel and you're listening to God's Word. And I also want you to know that it is good that you're here. It means you're healthy. It also means that your soul is prospering or hopefully prospering. And I like 3 John. If you want to turn to John, the third epistle of John, really short little chapter. So you have 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And he says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." So here was a beloved elder of the church writing to a church family and saying that he was praying that they would be prospering in health. That's what we pray for all of the Flint Hills Bible Church family and all those who are in the Lord. And he said, "Just as your soul prospers." So we are thankful and praying for both body prospering and health prospering, and also the soul prospering. For he said, "I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." He said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." So I want to hear today, we want to hear today, we want you to give testimony to walking in truth through a time of a pandemic, through the COVID-19, and on top of that, then we get into a really divisive time of civil unrest in our country and uncertainty there. So it's just been a time when we most need to be together, we couldn't for a while. When we most need to hear and do the one another's, we couldn't, but now we can. I just want to hear, how did you walk in truth? How did you take what we've been learning from the last 13 lessons or so on the attributes, the character of God? How have you put that into practice? So I know the teachers have, other teachers have some things in their hip pocket, but you got to hear from us during one of the combined Sunday school hours. We were asked that question, so now we get to turn the tables. Tyson is going to take this mic, and he's going to go around to anybody that wants to give testimony. And just a couple, 2-3 minutes, I'd like to hear from some of you. I think most of you should have gotten an email that this was coming, right? That went out, Tyson Turr. Yep. So see a few heads shaking. And don't, like, one of those things where, like, okay, I'm not going to look at John because he'll call on me, that kind of thing. So anyway,
this has
feel
been
free.
Sanitized too, and we can sanitize it even more times in between.
So yep.
If that's a hindrance to you, I will alcohol it and then give it to you.
We talked about that. We want that to be a good practice here as well. So, anybody want to lead off? I always find these times very encouraging. See what the Word, just people growing in Christ and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit applied in life. And just love to hear that. So, got anybody brave to start off with? I could ask Brock to share one thing. You got one thing just to get going? That'd be great. Yep, we'll get Tyson back there with the mic and.
Okay, I only had a couple of things. So the first thing that I had was that just apart from knowing the attributes of God and knowing His character, I don't think you can really have true peace, just because man's ability is just severely limited. We're finite. We're going to live and die relatively quickly. You know, we're not eternal. And we don't have the power, or we're just restrained by time and place. We can't enact the kind of justice that the culture is longing for right now, and we can't protect ourselves from COVID-19 like we want to. It's too small. We can't see it. We're just so limited. And if you don't know the character of God and you don't know the way that he reveals himself in the Word, I just think that leaves you in a kind of a hopeless, anxious, angry mess. And I think that's what we see when we look out into the world right now. So in general, looking in the Word for his attributes really is, I think, the only way you can really find peace and find confidence and security. So that's just...
Thanks, Brock. Becca, I'm just going to...
Yeah, the Lord was very gracious to me in this time in, like, kicking me out of the nest with counseling. And it was very helpful to have, just know his goodness in revealing to me where I wasn't trusting him or when I wasn't focused on him and I was focused on what was going on around me. Very gracious in letting me lean on him in stages so that I didn't get just dropped down all the way. I was able to kind of go through each phase, learning to trust him better in those circumstances and how I could help others to know his goodness. So I was
he didn't
able
show
to
you everything at once, huh?
No.
Just wanted, okay.
And he was very gracious in that. But he gave me enough that I needed at the moment and was able to equip me to help others know his goodness better through the attributes of God handout that we have. Just a wonderful refresher for me in that time as well.
Very good. Thank you. Adam and Kate are here. I don't want to embarrass you guys, but they got married during this. That's great. I think we better give them a hand clap for that. Good things. Life goes on, right? I just loved it. Anybody else? We got to get the mic over to you. I want everybody to hear.
You know, you brought up Proverbs 18:1 about those who isolate themselves, seek their own desire. That really hits home on, you know, when we were separated for a while, you found yourself pursuing more of the things you had your church, but you had it all right there in your own hip pocket. There was not much invested. You know, it's so much easy just to do your own thing. And by testimony of Dave saying the views had gone down from the time we started to the time we finished the quarantine, you know, of the church. And it just makes, I think you guys asked the question during your fellowship time or during the Sunday school hour, you know, what you miss most about the church, you know, kids, one-on-one testimonies, just visiting with one another physically. And that is an imperative for me, I think, because I miss it a lot. And just listen to a couple of guys who've isolated themselves due to past instances in their life. A gentleman I know had lost his wife a number of years ago to cancer, but ever since then he's left the church. He still gets his dose of testimonies or sermons, but just watching his life go without a true fellowship with someone physically in a local church, you can see that eat at him. So I invited him and prayed for him, and he really thought, hey, I've seen Dave's sermons. I like that. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there like that. When you talk about counseling one another, the physical part of the body is imperative of the church to encourage to one another. And through this pandemic, it's realized it's very important to be a part of the local church. Dave's sermon on the local church here a couple weeks ago was really good on that, and even in your Sunday school hour. So in this day of, like Brock saying, peace, there's no peace, you know, unless you focus on the attributes of God. I think fellowship with one another, you can see those attributes clearer.
Very good. Thank you, Mark. How'd you all deal with fear? Anybody got a testimony of that? Anxiety? Or any other testimony?
But me, myself, for my family, with the initial quarantining and everyone going mad and buying all the toilet paper and all the fear-mongering about supply chains being disrupted and things like that, I think for just me by my, if I were just by myself, I wouldn't probably bat an eye because I can live off Vienna sausages and ramen noodles if I needed to, you know. But with like, you know, Abbott in the mix and making sure that he had what he needed, and that was a temptation to be worried about, you know, the things he needed being disrupted, whether medicine or the special food that he needs. So that was a temptation, but the passage I was thinking about leading up to now, and I often think about, is Deuteronomy chapter 8. In the very first 15 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 8, you have the Lord explaining, or Moses explaining to the people before they go into the promised land. He explains to them God's purposes behind 40 years of trial, 40 years of wilderness roaming, 40 years of living day to day just from manna from the Lord providing, and not having an abundance of things, not knowing where your next source of water is going to come from or when the source you have is going to dry up, not knowing, you know, what's going to happen. And he says that for 40 years, he says in Deuteronomy 8, your sandals haven't worn out, your clothes haven't worn out. That's pretty miraculous for 40 years. And that he's provided all this food for them all this time. So it's testimony to God's faithfulness to his covenant people. And he explains that, you know, I fed you in the wilderness with manna, which you did not know, so that you would learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word of the Lord. So part of the purpose of his trial was to teach them not to depend upon their own strength or to depend upon the things physically in this world, but to know that the first and foremost, the most important thing, was the very words of God himself, the life that God can give spiritually. And the other thing he says is it was a time of training, of discipline. He says that in Deuteronomy 8. So his purposes in all trials is to discipline us. And that doesn't always have a punitive sense, like you did something wrong, so you're going to be disciplined. The Hebrew term he uses this idea of teaching, instructing. Training is another way we talk about, especially when we talk about, like, you know, Hebrews chapter 12. You know, a father disciplines the son he loves. It's not always this discipline for what the son has done wrong, but a training in a time of instruction. So I think through this whole COVID thing, through not knowing what's going to happen, and even wondering if the basic necessities of life are going to be there, seeing the Lord be very gracious and faithful to continue to provide those things that we need, the basics, and just like he did for the Israelites, and to continually remember that even beyond the physical provisions that he's faithfully provided, that he is using the whole COVID pandemic and the turmoil that our country is going through, even beyond that, to train the church, to purify us, to love him more than we love the things in this world, and to be purified spiritually. So I think that's been the thing that's been on my heart and mind.
That's well said. Thank you for that. That really teaches and encourages. It's not during the soft times of life and everything's going well that we really do learn much. And you're talking about being disciplined or instructed or trained. It's during the trials, the uncertainties. That's when we grow. And so we should actually take joy in trials. Puts us in a good spot. I would broaden the things that you can talk about. Did anybody have some particular scriptures that just kept feeding you through this time as well? You're welcome to share those. Okay, Justin Wiebe has some things to say.
I guess John just introduced who I am. I'm Justin, and this is my wife, Chris. We've been coming here about, 4 or 5 weeks now. The church we were going to did not have a pastor as a result of some turmoil. So when this whole thing kind of started, my personal feeling was kind of relief, because now I could stay at home and not deal with all the mess. But it wasn't very long where, like that Proverbs 18 says, you know, you started just thinking of yourself and, you know, reason with yourself. And I guess it kind of showed me the importance of church, of gathering together, because of the encouragement you can give to others and what you can get. And it was a good thing to show your kids, you know, the importance of it also, because they don't get to interact with other believers. And it's just easy to get down, real easy to get down and just think about yourself. And when you think about yourself, you get depressed. And so an encouragement to you guys, you've, we've felt very welcomed here. And we've talked to John and Dave a little bit and feel encouraged and glad to be here.
Thanks, Justin and Carissa. And if I could just go a little bit farther on their story, they knew Alvin from doing some Bible hour or whatever at Berean Academy. And so they begin to tune in to our Sunday school class, on combined Sunday school class online and church. And so I think, as you said, those were helpful to you, those combined Sunday school classes. So welcome. It's great to have you guys. And great testimony. I mean, that really says it all there. And I like what Justin said. It's both what you get in terms of other people encouraging you and what you give to other people. And so when one part of the body's gone, there's a void, because it takes every part of the body to make it function completely and edify itself and build itself up in love. I've got Teddy Davis over here.
Along those same lines of what Justin was just saying, I live alone, and I don't mind living alone. I like living alone, but when this first started, I was totally isolated, and I was like, wow, maybe I don't like living alone, because this is terrible. I mean, nobody was going anywhere at that time, so I was just stuck in my place all by myself. And just like Justin said, you start focusing on self, you get scared, you get depressed. And I don't know, a few weeks later, maybe a month, I decided I was going to try to encourage other people. And so I started sending emails and cards, and that just really turned things around for me. Like he said, I began to be joyful when I stopped focusing on myself and started focusing on others. It really helped me out as well. And I thought of the scripture that says we are to hold others in higher regard than ourselves. And God's word definitely helps.
It's powerful. Thanks, Teddy. While you're still there, Tyson, I got a question for Teddy. So somebody that's tuning in today that is still in isolation, and not because of a medical reason. That's legitimate, and that's what they should do, definitely. But somebody who just hasn't got back into the fellowship of believers and is still isolating, again, without direct medical reasons. What's your message to them? What would be your encouragement to them?
Like you said just a minute ago, the body needs each other. We definitely need the fellowship, and not just over the phone or over Zoom. We need to be together, and that's what God tells us, is to come together to worship Him.
That's excellent. You know, This whole thing can certainly reveal our self-centeredness and our selfishness at a level that's kind of scary, how deceived we can get. And we are to continue to do the one another's. So, very good, Teddy. Who else? Peter Half.
this wasn't part of that, but I think it adds into what we just talked about. We focus quite a bit on Matthew 5, being salt and light, starting in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. I think that helped us through quite a bit where, I mean, you could easily get self-focused, where you could all dive, everybody goes to their rooms and just broods. And we tried to avoid that by focusing on how we could serve others. And it's, I mean, in difficult times to do that. I mean, you couldn't just run out and get things for people or go move with people because it wasn't easy to do. But that helped. And I just wanted to say also that this class, we've been doing this for I don't know how many years now. And John, you've always said that even if you're not going to be don't see yourself as a professional counselor anywhere, you're not taking the training and don't see yourself in that setting, this will help. And absolutely it does. I mean, going home in March, I closed the office, door of my office, hauled a bunch of stuff home, planning to work from home for a month or so. I'm met there with four kids who don't have school to go to anymore. My wife doesn't have work in the office anymore. So we're all standing there looking at each other, and how do you go forward with that? But being trained in God's sovereignty and God's providence and God's power and provisions is a huge foundation for how to function in that crisis mode. And so that helped in the initial crisis. And looking forward now, and we talked about anxiety earlier, just I see the change between when the crisis mode is kind of past, but now this is affecting everything in the future. I've got one going away to college, supposedly in 2 months. That's all up in the air. School for next year is still very uncertain. So it's a different kind of, I guess, crisis, if you want to say it that, but a different anxiety that we all get to work through together. And I think it's been a joy for me to be there with my family and work through it together. It's been joyful at times. I mean, it's difficult at times, but knowing all we've learned from this class has helped through.
I just love hearing that. And that's what it's all about, to be equipped to do the one another's and to lead and to counsel and disciple. And when you're talking, Peter, I just think that we are, by nature, people who don't like disruptions. We want normal and average and calm, but disruption in your life, look what it brought. I mean, you're home, you're with your kids and your wife, and puts you in a place of uncomfortability, but it's a good thing. And you embraced it and even had joy. So praise the Lord for that. Still got a little bit of time. Anybody else? Kate.
So, John, I'm going to springboard off of your earlier comment about the fact that Adam and I got married during a pandemic. It wouldn't have been the way that I would have chosen to get married. However, what it taught me was more of God's sovereignty, that he is in control no matter that there is a pandemic going on, that there is all kinds of civil unrest pre-COVID, during COVID. And what else he taught, I think, and is still showing Adam and me, even after being married for 3 weeks now, is how much our ceremony has touched lives of our friends and family who, had we not gotten married in the way that we did, we live streamed because our friends and family couldn't come. The message of salvation went out to them because of our ceremony and being able to have the help of the tech team, Tyson and the others, to send that out. And being able to share the gospel in that way. Kind of like what Pete said about being the light of the world that we're called to. And so that's been really exciting to hear others continue to say to us, hey, we watched your wedding ceremony. you know, we really liked how Pastor Dave talked about love in that way. Or, you know, just other comments about the word of God being presented. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that and how that was a real bright spot in a real chaotic and confusing and dark time. So, yeah, I don't know if you.
I can't top that.
You may not have heard Adam. He said, I can't top that. This is wonderful. What a testimony that is. And to hear that you're getting feedback from people that were able to watch that and the message of salvation and the truth about God and love that came out in the message. So just wonderful to hear. I was really encouraged that you guys, you know, had the courage to go ahead and to, you know, we got to live life. I think back, I've mentioned this before, but, you know, in the Exodus, the Israelites were under severe persecution by Pharaoh, intense affliction, and they were still having children. They were getting married and having children. Therefore, Moses, you know, is born. They didn't say, oh, we don't know about the future. We better put life on hold. So they had courage to act on faith and believe in the greatness of God. So just wonderful testimony. We got maybe time for one more. If somebody has one more, it would be great. All these are just good to hear. By saying there's time for one more, but he thinks I've escaped. No, I'm not. You guys are doing, this is great. I think I'll go ahead and call it a morning. It's just about 9:55. A few people getting here. Thank you all for sharing. Next week, Russell, you are going to be teaching on grace. On grace. Okay. Looking forward to that. You got 2 or 3 weeks on grace, or 4 or 5, or 2 or 3. Okay. So we'll meet in here. We'll get started shortly after 9, as close to 9 as we can, and be done at 9:55. And looking forward to that. So thank you all for sharing today. Wonderful time.